The scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in prayer. God of grace, we thank you that you call us here to worship you. That even though we think that we've been called by our own will and our own desire, we recognize that even beyond that, it is you that calls us, each one of us, and for all those who proclaim you as Lord and Savior. And so we give you thanks, Lord, for that calling. We pray today that as we hear your word, that you would speak a word of encouragement, whatever it is that we need to hear today. We ask that we might leave this place encouraged by your Spirit, by the enactment of your word through communion, through the music, through all the ways that you speak to us, Lord. Make our hearts open wide to receive you today. We pray in your name. Amen. And God stepped out on space. And he looked around and said, "I'm lonely. I'll make me a world." And far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled, and the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, "That's good." Then God reached out and took the light in his hands and rolled that light around in his hands until he made the sun. And he set that sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world. And God said, "That's good." Then God himself stepped down, and the sun was on his right hand, and the moon was on his left. The stars were clustered about his head, and the earth was under his feet. And God walked, and where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys and bulged the mountains. Then he stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. God stepped over to the edge of the world, and he spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes, and the lightnings flashed. He clapped his hands, and the thunders roared, and the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted, and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky, and the oak spread out his arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground, and the rivers ran down to the sea. And God smiled again. And the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulder. Then God raised his arm and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land, and he said, "Bring forth, bring forth." And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam the rivers and the seas, roamed the forests and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, "That's good." Then God walked around and looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his sun. He looked at his moon. He looked at his little stars. He looked on this world with all its living things. And God said, "I'm lonely still." Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down. With his head in his hands, God thought and thought, till he thought, "I'll make me a man." Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there, the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hands, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. And amen. These words are powerful words. I read them 12 years ago, and they have just been part of who I am. At 6:27 on Saturday morning, I had a dream. And in that dream was my bookshelf in my office. And there sat this book. But okay, so that morning, Saturday morning, I came to the office and looked again at this book. Of this amazing depiction of creation written by James Weldon Johnson, an African-American author, politician, poet, and civil rights leader in 1927. The majestic grandeur of the beginning of the creation reminds me of this passage in John. Both of these passages in Genesis and here in John, we get a glimpse of that beginning of creation where God, Almighty God, creates. And God's communication and relationship towards humanity. This passage here in John 1:1-18 harkens us back to that creation narrative in Genesis. And here in this New Testament passage, we hear the echoes of that beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being with Him. Without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The other gospel narratives take the story of Jesus back to His conception. But John's poetic prologue takes the beginning of Jesus' life way back before creation. His concern, John the writer, is that the origins of Jesus be intimately connected with the beginning of the world. The primary emphasis here in the prologue is God's relationship to humanity, more than on God. It's an amazing thing. If you think about any kind of mythic writing, it would be about the God that they would be focusing on. But here, it's about God's relationship to humanity. The title Word implies a revelation, but even more than that, God's divine communication with all of humanity. We hear here in Scripture, in Genesis 1:27, so God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. So in our DNA as humanity, we were made for relationship. That there is inside of us deep a longing for that contact with another human being. For an infant, the mother or father, as they see their first faces. In relationship with friend or colleague, husband or wife. That we have been made in our DNA for that kind of intimate relationship. And God says it's not good that man should be alone. And so God, in that beginning passage in Genesis, we see unfolding this relationship between God and a conversation back and forth. And then here we see in John this amazing passage again of God's movement, the Word made flesh. When I think about this passage, the Word made flesh, what does that exactly mean? And I think about how I came to faith. I was in seventh grade, and things at home were in turmoil. My father had just come back from the war, and in those days, we didn't have the word post-traumatic stress. Now looking back, I realized that's exactly what he had gone through. And so in our household, there was a little bit of chaos. And I think about the friends that came alongside of me and said, Mary, I think you should go to church. I thought, well, okay. Well, so we went off the base. There was a church on the base. But my friend said, there's this Bible church off right outside of the gates. So let's ride our bikes and go. So I went. And it was in this little church. I think we might have had 30 people in with little tiny pews. Literally, little tiny pews. I think only 3 people can fit in them. And then no longer an organ or a piano in this place, but an accordion. A woman with an accordion. And that was the beginnings of my church experience. And that missionary talked about God's love, tremendous love for us. Psychologists may say, well, Mary, you were in a state of development and you were going through turmoil and you needed some kind of way to rescue yourself from what you were experiencing. That may be true. But what I experienced was an invitation by God, that God saw me, knew the circumstances of my life, and called me to come and follow Him. My life has been a journey of that initial call as a seventh grader. I remember when we were going to get baptized, this was a Baptist group, and so you had to get fully immersed. It was Easter, and it was a typhoon. And I thought, well, Sea of Japan. So I was like, well, you're going to get wet anyway. We're not going to cancel the baptism. So we went. The whole church went to the side. And there, in a dress, nonetheless, got dunked and was baptized. And in that encounter, I came to understand more fully what it meant to follow Jesus Christ. The words that were told to me are you good enough to be baptized? And it was, no, there is nothing good in me, but only what God has done in Jesus Christ that I come. And my life has been the unfolding of that relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that I've been made for relationship, not only to those around me in the world, but to Jesus Christ. And then yet I think about my journey of faith, and I think about the inability that it's been over the years to realize that God calls all of me, that God calls me and offers me life that's being offered daily. And so it's been this hard unfolding of a journey that says to me, you're not good enough. And so keep striving to become that Christian. And sometimes I think that in the church that we have the sense that we have to be really good, because after all, we've been saved by God's grace. And so therefore, in response to God's goodness, why really we have to kind of move into that, live into what it means to be a follower of Christ. And yet, as the older I get, I've come to realize that there's certain habits, certain ways of thinking, certain ways of perceiving others, certain judgments that I make about people that are resident deep in my heart and soul and are the first outcomes of anything I see or experience in the world. Do you find yourself in that situation where even though you may have made that commitment to Christ, you were baptized as an infant with sprinkling, immersion, whatever way you came to know Christ and proclaim that life to follow Christ, and yet you find yourself decades, 10, 20 years, and think about, am I really any different than when I was at the beginning? That's the question I ask myself often. Do I see the same habits? And do I find myself returning back again to our prayer confession? Lord, help me. This passage in Genesis and John is that proclamation, this grand, magnificent testimony of Jesus Christ coming to us, meeting us where we are and calling us into transformation. The prologue speaks about action that's been lived out in Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think, you know, words, especially here in Berkeley, there's a lot of words. And I long for action. Where's the action that goes behind those words? I long for that. And in here, in Jesus Christ, we have action and life all in one. Now, that's something I could get myself behind. Someone who actually lives the talk. And that's what I desire to be. And I think all of us who proclaim Christ as Savior, our longing, our deepest longing is that what we proclaim from our lips, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, is something that we actually live out. And we struggle in that in-between space. And so Genesis and John reminds us again that this is not ours to do. It's out of creation, before we were even a thought, that God acted. In John, we see here that before we even thought about a Savior, that He was there at the beginning. We have the news, the good news, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. God's gift to us is a relationship. And when we come to church, there are times when we forget that, because we're so used to just coming. It becomes very rote. It becomes just dry. It comes like motion. We say the words and it doesn't affect our lives. We leave this place unaffected by the great news of Jesus Christ. And so when we come here to worship in this Advent season, as I have done this week, to remember how we came to faith, what was that good news that we needed to hear at that moment, where we thought, this is what I would give my life for. To remember our baptism, even if we were infants. Maybe there's pictures of our family around a baptismal font that we can remember. What were those promises that were made on our behalf? And then through our youth, was able to then proclaim Jesus with our own lips. Christmas is a time for us to come to the manger, to be reminded again of that relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. This past week, I was flipping through the newspaper and I came across this article about social networking and the need for relationship. It's called speed friending. In a social networking age when it's really effortless to claim that you have hundreds of friends, there were 30 women in this article that gathered after work in San Francisco, and they were looking to start authentic friendships by meeting face-to-face. For $30, six-month membership fee, women join girlfriendcircles.com. And you're invited to meet in cafes and small groups of connecting circles and they try to match by age, neighborhood, and your schedule. You know, everyone's so busy, so get that schedule figured out. And then you can develop friendships and then decide afterwards how to meet. There is a woman who's from Berkeley, 26 years old, writes this. She tried speed friending after tiring of textual friendships. She estimated that she spends 90% of her time either texting, instant messaging, or reading about buddies on Facebook or emailing, but not actually with them. Our society and all the good that we have in technology, there is a desire for real face-to-face connection. And here in Jesus Christ, we have that. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of an only Son coming from the Father, filled with enduring love. And of His fullness, we have all had a share, love in place of love. For while the law was a gift from Moses, this enduring love came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, ever at the Father's side, who has revealed Himself. When I think about this season in my life, I agree with Richard Rohr. Richard Rohr, who's a Catholic priest, says this, that when you're young, you learn a little bit from success. You learn a lot about life. But actually, you learn a lot more through pain and suffering. That in pain and suffering, you learn the majesty, the potential to learn, the majesty and love of God. And for me, I find that in this particular season, in this Advent, I have found tremendous love from God. How do I explain it? I can't. But I find myself feeling the sense of greater and greater love for me as an individual. No longer feeling that I have to try to make things look perfect on the outside. I am who I am, broken. And in that, I feel God's embrace of me. And so my prayer for all of us is that we would, in this Christmas season, humble ourselves, allow God to speak to us, to find moments of quiet, real quiet, before Him. Not in the busyness of the day, where words cloud, the words from TV, words from text messaging, the words that bombard us. But the Word of God, the living Word, can be met in solitude at the very beginning. God is with us. God gives us life eternal. And for this, I pray that all of us would experience more fully. Holy and precious God, You know each one of us. You know what we brought into this sanctuary. We pray, God, that in this Advent season, that we would see more fully the action that You took, that You gave Your Son for us. We know, Lord, that with words we can argue about on a theoretical level. But as we come to follow You, we can say more confidently, it's not that I just believe in You, that we know You. Our desire, Lord, is that we would know You intimately, We know you because that we listen to you in the middle of the night, that you call us to go to our brother or sister and to forgive, that you speak to us in those quiet moments that tell us to do this or not to do that. In those quiet times, you tell us to take risk when it feels not wise. And then when we continue to listen to you, we find that you are true. We thank you that you are not telling us to believe unbelievable things, as if that would somehow please you, but that you're saying more to us, that you're saying, try this, and you will see for yourself that this is true. And so we pray that that would be true for us. But we whine and complain, Lord, that says to you, but that initial trying is always a leap of faith. And so, God, we pray that as we take that leap of faith into some kind of action or practice, whatever it is that you call us, we pray that we would meet you in the midst of that, in suffering or in joy. We thank you, God. Word made flesh, the one who came and who loves us. Release us so that we might trust your word and that we might live it with confidence. We pray in your word. Amen.